This is the last Sunday of our series, Jesus Said a Red Letter Summer. Throughout the summer, we have just been looking at the red letters in the Bible, looking at the words of Jesus. Sometimes it was a single word. Sometimes it was a single verse. Sometimes it was an entire chapter. We just have looked at the red letters all summer long. And this is the last Sunday of that series. And so I thought for the last Sunday of the series, why don't we look at something from the Last Supper? If you're not familiar with the Last Supper, Jesus has been with his closest followers for about 3 years. And they have come up to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, which was the biggest festival on the Jewish calendar. It was the day that the people would come together and celebrate and remember that God once delivered the people out of slavery in Egypt into a promised land. And they would come and they'd celebrate the miraculous way that God did that. And so here are these disciples with Jesus, and they have gone into an upper room to celebrate what God has done. And one of the places you can follow this is in the 13th chapter of John. And Jesus gets in there, and there's a lot of excitement in the room. But then Jesus does something completely unexpected. He gets down on his knees, and he begins to wash the disciples' feet. And the disciples don't know what to do with this, because this was the act of a servant, certainly wasn't what the most important person in the room would traditionally do. And here's Jesus taking the place of a servant. As the evening goes on, Jesus would identify the one who would betray him, adding more confusion to the room. He would break bread and say, "This is my body, it's broken for you." And he would share the cup, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. It's a promise that I'm making to you." And I'm sure all of the disciples at this point are just sitting around doing that smile nod. I have no idea what he's talking about. But Jesus, as he so often would do, he would do something remarkable, but then he'd talk about it as well. And here he is, washing feet and breaking bread and sharing the cup, and then he starts to talk with them. And when you get to the 34th verse of chapter 13 of John, Jesus says these words, "A new command," you might have learned it with the word commandment, "a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." This morning, I just want us to pay attention to three words. And if we leave here with one, two, or three words, we'll be in pretty good shape. The first word I want you to pay attention to this morning is simply this: command. Jesus said, "A new command I give you. A new commandment I give you." What's a command? What's a commandment? It's an order. And it is radically different from a suggestion. If you're in the Old Testament, the Pentateuch, you get that moment where God gives Moses a list of 10 things. These are not the 10 suggestions. These are not the things that God goes, "Hey, you might want to consider trying these little, you know, life hints out. You know, if they work for you, great. If they're not your thing, no big deal. They're just a suggestion." No, they're called the 10 commandments. These are the 10 orders. This is what you are to do. And Jesus comes in and goes, "I'm going to give you a new order, not a suggestion." How insane would it be if you are in a restaurant, waiter or waitress comes up to you, and you place your order, and you say, "I want a T-bone steak, medium rare, grilled asparagus, house salad, house dressing." That sounds fantastic. And you place your order. But what happens if the waiter or waitress doesn't consider it an order, but merely a suggestion, and they come back with pumpkin jello and cauliflower, and they place it in front of you? And you're like, "This is not what I ordered. This doesn't even closely resemble a T-bone at all." this isn't working. May I speak with your manager? But too often, this is how we approach the orders or commands of Scripture. We consider them merely suggestions. Jesus is Lord or he's not. Oh, we like to use the word Lord. We'll use it in songs. We use it when we pray, oh dear Lord. But then we live as if his commands are merely suggestions. He's either Lord or he's not. And if he's Lord, we're servants. Servants obey. Because we are prone to treat God's commandments as suggestions, maybe this is one of the reasons that Jesus in the 7th chapter of Matthew says these words, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Those are some seriously harsh words. But lots of times we have no problem saying, Lord, Lord, but we have a whole different approach when it comes to actually doing what he says. Jesus is with his closest followers. He goes, a new commandment, not a new suggestion, a new commandment. Which takes us, though, to the second word for the morning. A new command I give you, love one another. Four times. New command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And by this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. We've talked about this before. In the Greek language, there's four different words that are translated into English as love. So where storge refers to family love. It's the love I have for my daughter. There's the word philia. We get the word Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. It's friendship love. It's the love I have for Paul. He's my friend. I philia you. There's the word eros, where we get the word erotic. It's the romantic love. I eros my wife. I don't eros Paul. I philia you, storge you, eros you. Keep the order correct on that one. But when Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, love one another, he's not saying storge, he's not saying philia, he's not saying eros, he's saying agape. And my favorite definition of agape is this: to intelligently and intentionally do what is best for another. It's my favorite definition of agape. So when Jesus is giving this new command, he says, a new command I give you, intelligently and intentionally do what is best for others. As I have intelligently and intentionally done what is best for you, so you are to intelligently and intentionally do what is best for others. And by this, the way that you intelligently and intentionally do what is best for others, by this, all people will know that you are my disciples when you intelligently and intentionally do what is best for other people. When Jesus says, as I have intelligently and intentionally done what is best for you, consider what that looks like. How has Jesus intelligently and intentionally done what is best for us? He came. The fact that he's referred to as Emmanuel, God with us, the fact that he came into our mess says something about the way that he has intelligently and intentionally done what is best for us. But then he would teach, and he would touch, and he would heal, and in doing so, he would restore people. Evidence of how he would intelligently and intentionally do what is best for people. But he didn't stop there. He gets into the upper room, and he shows what it looks like to intelligently and intentionally do what is best for other people. He gets down on his knees and he serves. He washes feet. He breaks the bread and he pours the cup, and he gives these images of what would take place within the next 24 hours in his life. He would allow his body to be broken and his blood to be poured out so that in his brokenness we would be made whole, and through his blood we would be forgiven so that we would have nothing that would permanently separate us from the love of his Father. This is how he would intelligently and intentionally do what is best for us. And he says, as I have agape'd you, so you are to agape other people. Okay, here's what I need. I need all the kids that are in elementary school that are still in here. If you're a kid and you're still in here, I need you to come up here with me. Come on up. Come on up. I bathed this week. No worries. All right, you guys get to sit with me. Come on up over here. Oh. I can sit. I have no promise that I will ever get up. Okay. You did not know when you came to church today that there would be a test. But there is. But I have great faith in you. Because I was watching you guys while I was talking, and you were locked in. Okay. What is the Greek word? You didn't know you were going to learn Greek today. What is the Greek word for love? Remember what I said?
Agape.
Ooh, nicely done. All right. There are a whole bunch of you out there going, I know this. Nice job, Caleb. Okay, now here we go. We'll take it a step further. What does agape mean? To
intentionally
do what is best for
others.
Okay. Big words. What does it mean intelligently? What does it mean to intelligently care? That's weird. Think about this. To intelligently is to use your noodle. Use the brain and go, hey, I'm going to come up with a plan. I'm going to come up with an idea for helping people. That's intelligently. If that's intelligently, anybody know what it means to do something intentionally?
On purpose.
Nicely done, sir. To do it on purpose. Okay, so let's say you guys are at school and you have a bunch of books in your hand and you come walking to school and you trip over something and you fall down and all the books go all over the place and I'm standing there. What would be a good plan for helping you?
Picking up the books?
That's a really good plan. Anything else we can add to our plan for helping you because you just bailed at school and all the books everywhere? I could pick up the books. What else could I do?
Pick up the person.
That's a really good idea. Nicely done. Okay. So that's intelligently. I've made a plan for helping you because you fell and all your books are down. You know, and if you're crying, I could maybe get something for your eyes. You know, is this a good plan? Good plan? What happens if I just come up with a plan but don't actually pick up the books or pick you up? Have I loved you?
No.
I just came up with a good plan. How would I show you that I actually care?
By doing it?
By actually helping? I like that. Okay. Give me the name of one of your friends.
Kaylee.
Steven. All right. What's one way that you can intelligently and intentionally help your friend? Do what is best for them. What's something maybe you could do? See, this gets hard when it's real people, huh? Want me to make it even harder for you? You're like, oh, please. What's the name of your teacher?
Miss
who?
Schwinning.
All Seth. I've met her. What's one way you can come up with a plan to do what's best for your teacher?
Follow the rules.
They like that a lot. My wife's a teacher. She's nodding right now. Yeah. You guys, if we just are okay with coming up with ideas, but we don't do it, it's like me watching you on the ground with all your books and not helping you up. If I'm actually going to agape you, I've got to come up with a plan, but then I have to
do it.
Thanks for helping me out. I have a favor to ask of you guys, though. Because nobody out here knew that they were going to have a test, too, or else they probably wouldn't have come. But we need to hand out something. Can you help me hand out a bunch of things? Mm-hmm. It's my plan. Now we get to actually do it. All right, here we go. We have for you, here we go. I'm going to give you some, and you can start passing them down that aisle. How's that sound? And you guys get to pass some of those out back in your row. All right. We're going to go here with you guys. If you guys can back down that aisle, start passing those out, and you go down that aisle too, and then you guys are going to go that way, all right? What they are passing out to you right now, they're just going to hand them out into the aisles, and it's messy, but guess what? So is agape-ing people. Agape-ing people, seriously messy. what it has, a little half sheet, and on it, it says agape love, and it has the definition that we use this morning to intelligently and intentionally do what is best for another. But then right below it, it says name and how. I need you to write down the name of one person. My suggestion to you, someone in your home, someone you work with, one of your threes. If you're unfamiliar with what I'm talking about when I say one of your threes, one of the ways we try to live at Community Cove is 3-2-1. We identify three people that are already in our life that are currently not following Jesus. Our job with them, bless them, care for them, love them, learn their story. And if they're ever interested in our story, we'll tell them. Identify three people like that. Identify two people that are currently following Jesus that you are mentoring, that you are building into, and identify one person that's building into you. So maybe the name on your card right now is one of your threes. So I'm going to give you just a second or two, write down a name, and then come up with how you're actually going to do it. And then those of you, if you got extra papers, go ahead and bring them up here, and I'll take the extras. Thank you, my friends. Thank you. If you still need one, shoot a hand up or two. Anybody else? How do we do? Hey, Aiden. Oh, thank you. Hey, Aiden, I'm going to give you these. If you're in this section, you need one, go ahead and raise your hand. Aiden's here to help. Anybody over here? How do we do? Hey, give a hand for all our people that were passing out things this morning. You guys are awesome. Up. Paul, right behind you. And then you are, and then Aiden, you got a couple way in the back. Cool. I will bring one back to you. You're going to do it in your head right now, and we're going to get it back to you. Oh, you got a couple more? I can do this. It's important that we actually take the time to consider how we're going to be doing this. Otherwise, we get caught up in this whole thing of, well, yes, we're going to love people. This is what we do. But if we don't come up with an intelligent plan of action, chances are we're not going to actually be the intentional part either. My encouragement to you is take this piece of paper. Put it somewhere that you're going to see it often this week. My suggestion is always put it on your bathroom mirror. It's amazing how often we look in the bathroom mirror. It takes me hours to do my hair, and so I'm there all the time. But take time to intelligently and intentionally care for the people that you're writing down right now. A new command, first word that I give you, love, our second word, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. And all people will know, that takes us to our third word this morning. You are my disciples if you love one another. We're going to be talking a whole lot more about discipleship in the weeks to come. But Jesus said, you will know that you are my disciple. One of my favorite descriptions of a disciple is this, a dust eater. A disciple is a dust eater. The imagery for that comes from a rabbinic understanding of what a teacher and a disciple is. The teacher would be followed by their disciple. They'd be followed so closely that as the teacher would walk, they would kick up dust, and the disciple was so close that they would be covered in the dust of the teacher. I've always loved the description of a disciple as a dust eater. I came across a description of a disciple the other day that I really appreciated. Jonathan Parnell writes, a disciple is someone who learns from him, referring to Jesus, a disciple is someone who learns from him to live like him. Someone who, because of God's awakening grace, conforms his or her words and ways to the words and ways of Jesus. I love that image. Because of what God has done through his son Jesus, we change how we live and the way that we speak so that we are collecting his dust over and over and over again. Eugene Peterson's book on discipleship is entitled A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. It's actually taken from a quote by Nietzsche, but the idea that discipleship is a long obedience, continuing to do what he says and live like he lives in the same direction, always following him. People will know that you are covered in his dust when you intelligently and intentionally love other people. And when you intelligently and intentionally love other people, you are living evidence that you are obeying the command. This is what we do. Here's what I want you to consider this morning. I want you to pick one of these three words: command, love, disciple. Which of these three words do you need to pay more attention to going into this week? Command? Man, there are some times that I just treat God's commands like they're suggestions, making me Lord instead of him. Yeah, that's my story sometimes. Maybe you need to be thinking about, oh yeah, it's a command, not a suggestion. Maybe the word for you is love. I talk a good game, I don't actually intelligently and intentionally do it for other people. Or maybe it's disciple. Wait, so are you saying that I need to be changing how I walk and how I talk so that I'm covered by his dust? Pick one of the three. Obviously, all three are really important. Pick one. How many of you this morning are saying, you know what, the word that I need to pay attention to in these red letters is command? How many of you chose that one? Let me pray. Lord, for the people that have their hands up this morning, I ask that you would overwhelm them with the reality that your commands, although not always easy, are always best. And that as these people consider this word and try to live into this word, that you would remind them that you have their best in mind by issuing such a command. How many of you this morning picked the word love? That's the word you need to pay attention to. Let's continue to pray. Lord, I pray that you would be with the people that just raised their hand that want to think on this word agape, to intelligently and intentionally do what is best for others. And I ask that as they reflect on this word, that you would overwhelm them with how you have loved them, how you have intelligently and intentionally done what is best for them. And may that spur them and encourage them to live likewise. How many of you picked the word disciple? Go ahead and raise your hand. Lord, I pray for these people that they would be covered by your dust. That you would give them the courage and humility to move beyond considering discipleship as simply agreeing with a teaching and begin following that teaching. And Father, as they are covered by your dust, that people would see your Son in them. We pray this all in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.